In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In our services each week, just after the intercessory prayer, we wish each other the peace of the Lord. And in our reading today in John's Gospel, we also read that Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, peace I give you, a peace I give you that the world does not give." And so I thought it would be good for us to consider this word peace as we find it in the Bible. And the way that we're going to approach it is by first of all to look at what we might describe as peace with God, and then secondly, what we may also call the peace of God. Let us take the first point, peace with God. When we turn to the beginning of our Bibles, we find a picture of God who's in control. He creates the heavens and the earth and all that is within it. And not only is it good, but it's described as very good. And we find man there in a garden with his wife Eve. And we find that they have everything that they need, and they are in fellowship with God. They have regular fellowship with the Lord. And we may well describe this situation as one of peace. But we know the story, don't we? It doesn't continue like that for very long. And then we find that Adam is disobedient to God, what we might describe as sin. We find then that Adam and Eve hide themselves from God. They are ashamed. They don't want to meet God. And then we also find that God comes. He not only curses the earth, but he also says that they will return to dust as they were made from dust. And then afterwards, they're put out of this garden. They're excluded from this fellowship with God. So when we look at that situation, it's a situation of no peace. They are hostile and indifferent to God. Soon afterwards, we find that Cain, their son, kills Abel. And then the world seems to get worse and worse, until eventually we find the story of the great flood, which destroys most of the world. Then after that, we read that God chooses, first of all, a family, Abraham and his family, and then afterwards a nation, the people of Israel. We read not because they were great in number, for there were few, but because he loved them. And then we know the story. They get taken out of Egypt by Moses into the desert, and then God makes a covenant with them, a promise, an agreement. He enters into a relationship with them. He will be their God and they will be his people. And he also gives them the law, the conditions of the covenant. And part of this law that we have, we also find that there are various offerings and sacrifices. And one of these sacrifices is the peace offering. Now, this offering which the people could make would be taken from the cattle or from the goats or from the sheep. And they could offer this animal. And the animal was slaughtered and killed. Its blood was shed. I don't know what you think of animal sacrifices. We actually had them in Lahore when we lived there at the time of the Muslim Eid. And I must admit, I felt very sorry for the animals. You'd see them being looked after and then you'd know that they'd soon be slaughtered. And not only that, then it was very messy and you had the smell of blood around the whole of Lahore. Then why did God prescribe, give these instructions to the people of Israel? Why did he tell them to offer this peace offering? Well, as we look at it, we can see that clearly God wanted to show the people how hard it is to have peace with God. It involves the sacrifice of a life. It involves blood being shed. As we look through the Old Testament, we also find not only this peace offering, But we also find a bit further on in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, promises of a Prince of Peace. Actually, you're very familiar with this prophecy because we read it every Christmas. Let me just read you these words from Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there be no end. So right there, in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, we find the promise of one who will be not only a mighty God, but Prince of Peace, and would have a reign of peace, a rule of peace. And of course, we know who this prophecy was speaking of. It was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come into the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel, and we're familiar with the story of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. You know, born in Bethlehem and put in a manger. And then what happens? Well, we find the angel goes to the shepherds, tells them the good news of the Saviour, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the angels come, the heavenly hosts sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests. So we see that here was the beginning of an understanding of a peace that is coming. When we look at the Gospels, we read of the death of Christ, the resurrection, the ascension, and of course the coming of the Holy Spirit. But when the early church believers look back, when people like Peter look back upon this time, they saw this as good news of peace through Jesus Christ. They understood that through the death of Christ, that we are now able to come and have fellowship with God. No longer will sin be a barrier. No longer are we hostile, that we now can have fellowship, a relationship with God. And of course, we enter into this by faith, by believing in the promises of God and what Christ has done. But it's important as we look at this, as we think about this, that we're not talking about a feeling, an experience of peace. We often talk about the experiencing peace, but what we're talking about is not an experience, but a relationship. When Paul says, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, he is talking about this relationship, not an inner feeling. But let me just make some application here now. Often when we're Christians, we often measure ourselves as Christians by our feelings. Sometimes we look back and we see that we have failed in the past. We've done something maybe quite bad. And we wonder, can God forgive us? Other times, as believers, we do things. We do things that are wrong, which we know are wrong. We're ashamed and embarrassed. And we wonder, can we be Christians when we've done such things? But our feelings are not a very good guide as to whether we are Christians. What we find is far more reliable, surely, is that of the work of Christ and the promises of God. And when we have doubts whether we are Christians or not, surely we should ask ourselves, do we believe upon what Christ has done on the cross? Do we believe in God's promises? For instance, he is faithful and just and will forgive us if we confess our sins. So if anyone is concerned about whether they are a Christian because of things they've done wrong, don't depend upon your feelings, but look and believe the promises of God. But also, as we consider how God has made this peace, how Christ has become our peace, we remember also and think that God has taken the initiative, that God sent his Son, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we think about it, if God made such an effort for us when we are hostile towards him, when we are sinners, when we are against him, when we are disobedient to him, surely we should also make an effort to those who find it difficult with us, who perhaps have something against us in the church for some reason or other, maybe for good reason or maybe for no reason. We can think of the words of Jesus. He says, if anyone should offer their gift at the altar and then remember that a brother has something against them, then they should seek to be reconciled, sort it out, and then offer their gift at the altar. He's making it plain that far more important than our religious activities and ceremonies is that we are right one with each other. And so when we offer the peace of the Lord to each other, we're not only wishing the blessings of the peace of God upon our brothers and sisters, but we're also showing that we are one with them, that there is peace between us, that there is no hostile thought, that we are one with our brothers and sisters here. But someone will say, what about the experience of peace? And that leads us to our second point, which is a very brief point. When we look at the scriptures, we find that most of the references of peace, as we mentioned, are not of the inner experience of peace, but there are some. And we have an example in our gospel reading today. Here in this gospel reading, Jesus in John's gospel is speaking to the disciples and explaining that he is leaving them. He is returning to the Father and that he will send them. They will not be orphans, but he will send them a counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And we understand as we read that passage that through the Holy Spirit, God the Father and God the Son is present with us. So on this basis, Jesus can say to the disciples, peace I leave you, peace I give you. Not as the world gives you. Let not your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid. These disciples might be going through all types of hardships in the future, all types of persecution. They may face death itself, but they need not be afraid. They have peace because they know that Christ is with them through the work of the Spirit. God is with them through the work of the Spirit. They are not alone. And that, of course, is of comfort to us. When we face difficulties, when we face illness, we know that God is with us through the work of his Spirit. When we face death itself, we're not alone. Let us just sum up what we've said. We've looked over and we considered the peace with God. And we've seen that this peace with God, even though it was broken with sin and hostility towards God, that through the death of Christ upon the cross, we are now able to have a relationship with God. He is our peace. And that we do trust and believe upon his promises. We enter into this peace with faith. And secondly, we also have seen that we experience the work of this peace through the work of the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit works in us, we also know that through the Spirit, Christ is with us, God is with us, and we do not need to be fearful or afraid. And we also mentioned, when we wish each other the peace, we wish upon each other the blessings of God's peace, and we are showing that we are one with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen.